Have you ever been to Wendy's? In general, it is a good restaurant. The food is pretty good, and they have more variety than the rest of the burger places. Like McDonald's with Ronald, they also have their own mascot. She is a very cute red-headed girl. I never knew if she is based on a real person or if they just created her for the logo. But what I do know is that once, someone disguised as she tried to kill me. It all started one normal night. On weekends, I have to babysit my son, and his favorite place to eat is Wendy's. He used to throw a big tantrum when I didn't take him, and over time, it had become our favorite father-son activity. Everything was going well until one day, I noticed something strange. As we left the place, a person disguised as the Wendy's girl greeted us. There was nothing strange about this. What did scare my son was that the whole costume was covered in blood. After we passed her, she walked behind us, still waving at us. My son started to get really scared and started to speed up his pace. I thought about confronting this person, but to tell the truth, I'm a pacifist. I don't know how to fight, and I don't want to. I would if it was to defend my son, but what would that accomplish? I would only put him at risk. I decided to pick up the pace and get into the car as soon as possible. Just a few steps away, the girl was still waving at us in a terrifying manner. Several weeks passed, and my son was somewhat reluctant to return to the restaurant, until one day. I talked to his mother, and she convinced him. I was sure nothing would happen. Maybe that was a one-time thing. If this person was stalking all the customers like that, she had probably already been kicked out. With many doubts, my son went with me to the restaurant. Little by little, I could see how the spark began to return. There was no trace of the strange woman, and he began to feel more and more comfortable. We spent a great night together eating. It seemed like everything that had happened would be in the past as a bad and bizarre memory. We made our way to the car, and the parking lot was empty. But this was a good thing, since our stalker from that time wasn't there either. We got into the car, and I started it up. But at that moment, the thing I was most afraid of happened. In front of the car, preventing us from moving forward, the woman in the costume was waving at us. Her costume was still bloody, and just like last time, looked like fresh blood. Her greetings were much more frenetic than the previous time. This time, she was waving her hand violently. As soon as he saw her, my son began to cry as if he had recalled an event that had kept him awake at night for many nights. I knew it had affected him, but this was much worse than I thought. I honked at her to run, but instead of listening to me, she only came closer, walking in front of the car and even standing on top of it. I quickly put on the seatbelt while I listened as this terrifying woman walked on the roof. I took advantage of the situation to try to speed up the car, but as if sensing that I was going to do it, she laid down and stuck her head inside of the window, showing us a big knife in the process. I accelerated the car. But in a matter of seconds, we lost control and crashed into a pole. All the car's tires were flat. The woman had fallen from the accident, so I took the opportunity to grab my son and run back to the Wendy's. On the way, the woman caught up with me in a matter of seconds and threw me to the ground. My son fell away, and as I yelled at him to go to the restaurant to report what was happening, the woman tried to press her knife against me. She was very strong. Somehow, her strength was equal to mine, which in itself was not much. My arms began to give way, and the knife came closer and closer to my throat until suddenly, it was all over. Some security men threw the woman away from me, and I, terrified, stepped back. I took a deep breath because it was all over. But a battle cry brought me back to reality. The woman was running at full speed, and in one leap, she lunged towards me to plunge her knife into me. The security man caught her in mid-jump, grabbed her knife, and held her until the police arrived. When they took off her mask, my son started crying, and I was shocked. That person was not a Wendy's employee. She was my ex-wife, my son's mother. After a while, she confessed that she was dressing up to scare my son so that he would no longer want to spend time with me or have a bonding activity like she was doing. She had no intention of killing me, but that night, everything went out of control. She had taken drugs that took her out of herself, and because of that, all the subtlety in her plan was gone. She went into a state of euphoria and, with a knife already in her hand, tried to kill me and give my son a trauma he would never forget. After that, I kept custody of my son. He still goes to see his mother in prison, but he doesn't want to. I always convince him to do it, to forgive her, but I must tell you the truth. I will never do it. Since that day, every time my son and I go to Wendy's, we are afraid. The food tastes much more bitter, and we are just thinking about leaving. But we keep lying to ourselves that everything we went through didn't affect us. At the end of the day, even though she ended up in jail, my ex-wife, the woman dressed as the little girl at Wendy's, got her way.
Back when I was a teenager, I had a girlfriend named Olivia. Although she was a teenager too, she was in college, 2 years older than me and much more mature. She was the nicest human I'd ever known. We lived in the same neighborhood, played together, went to the same school until she graduated, and had the same group of friends. So it wasn't a surprise to our parents when we both announced that we were dating. She was 19 and I was 17 when we both decided to work at our local Wendy's. It was a small outlet, and mostly the college and high school crowd frequented that restaurant. We wanted to buy a car so I could drive the 4 miles out of our town to visit her at community college. We were both very excited about the prospect of having a car and not having to borrow our parents' cars to see one another. Most weekends we worked late in the restaurant and often offered to close the restaurant. This would allow us to spend more time together. Although Olivia was older than me, she was a short petite girl, whereas I was a 6-foot-tall football player. Also, working late for an hour or so paid us more, which meant we could add more money to our collection to buy a car before the summer break was over. I was very happy to get so much time with Olivia. Little did I know that that's all I was going to get with her. At that young age, we had planned our whole lives together. I was excited to join her in the community college, though I could easily secure a spot in the Ivy League colleges with my sports background. However, I wanted to be with her, so I decided to go to the community college. One evening while we were working in the restaurant as usual, a group of my high school friends came in to have a quick bite. I was quite popular in the college, so they all greeted me and ordered their food. That evening it was again just me and Olivia in the Wendy's, as our co-workers had some emergency. The kids from my school were enjoying themselves in one of the booths when Olivia and I were getting their orders ready. "Hey there!" Sam had walked up to the counter. "Hey Sam, anything I could get you other than your order?"
"No, Jack. I'm here to tell you guys something. You know my dad is a cop, right? So he received intel from one of the other sheriffs that there's a killer on the loose in our county, and he is targeting shopkeepers, workers, waiters, etc., who are alone in the shops and restaurants at night. You guys work pretty late. Just take care, okay?"
Olivia was listening too, as Sam warned us. "Okay, buddy. Thanks for giving us a heads up. We'll take care." With that, Sam returned to his table where my other friends sat. After my friends left, there were no more customers, so we decided to head home. A week later, Olivia and I realized that we had collected the required amount to purchase the car we both wanted. With the help of my dad, we bought the car and were super happy to drive to and from work every day. It was a black Toyota, nothing fancy, but at least it was a first step towards our future together. I remember we were both so happy. In early July one evening, the other workers had left early to enjoy some movie that had just been released. Although now we didn't need extra money to save up for the car, we still enjoyed working late. So that evening too, we were more than happy to cover up for our colleagues. Our car was parked right in front of the entrance to the door in the parking lot. Olivia was cleaning up the inside counters and I was setting the tables right. That's when we heard the alarm of our car go off. It was so loud that for a second, we were confused. No one was in the restaurant except us, and in the past hour or so, we hadn't spotted anyone in the parking lot as well. This happened back when there were no CCTV cameras, so we couldn't even look into the camera feed to see if anyone was there. The alarm was still going off. Someone had to do something to stop the noise. A few minutes later, I saw the most horrid scene of my life. I don't remember why I looked up, but when I did, I saw him there. He was standing with his face pressed against the window of the restaurant, and his eyes were pitch black, without any pupils or anything. His face looked demonic, and he had a silly grin pasted on it. I was terrified just looking at him. But when I realized that Olivia was still cleaning the counters, my fear spiked sky high. She was unaware of this person still busy cleaning the damn counter. The man and I stared through the glass at one another. His smile didn't waver an inch, and his dark matted hair was pasted to his face. His skin was yellow and unnaturally textured. He had a big butcher knife in his hand, which he raised and showed me through the window. I was helpless at that moment. I watched the man run towards Olivia behind the counter as I stood there beside our new car in the parking lot, looking at them from outside. No matter how fast I ran, I was sure he would kill my girlfriend. I was truly, utterly helpless. I sprinted towards the doors, nonetheless, and yanked the front door open. I jumped behind the counter and saw the lifeless body of Olivia, covered in blood and with knife marks on her neck and torso. She was dead, and the knife was lying beside her. I knelt and held her body in my hand and sobbed. However, one thing I noticed was that the killer was nowhere to be seen. There was no back door to the restaurant and no other exit either, and he surely didn't walk out of the front exit. So, where did he go? I don't remember what happened next, how the cops got there, and for how long I was holding my girlfriend's lifeless, bloody body. The next thing I remember was the detective saying that it was an open and shut case, as I was the killer. They had found my fingerprints on the murder weapon when, in fact, I'd never touched it. Also, they didn't find any footprints other than mine and Olivia's behind the counter, which concluded that I was the killer. No matter how much I tried to convince them that I wasn't the murderer and there was a man who did this, no one believed me. Not my parents, not the cops, nor my friends. Now, I stand before the same Wendy's restaurant that I and Olivia worked in, after being out of prison 35 years later. Till this day, I could not find the proof of the black-eyed man who killed my girlfriend and ruined my life. Was it I who really killed her? Or was there another man, or ghost perhaps? What do you guys think?
When I was a little girl, my mother told me that fear was an emotion that required to be conquered. But in case it was impossible to fight against it, the best solution would be to flee. I never seemed to understand what she meant until 3 months ago, when I finally came across a fearsome situation. But before I start telling you my dreadful story, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Mary. When I graduated from high school, I got accepted to a college in another state. I was happy to move out of my family's house, as I did not have any patience to put up with my parents' unending fights. At first, I was really happy. I have never felt that free in my life. However, as years passed, I started to face the consequences of my lack of attention to the classes. They warned me over and over again, and eventually kicked me out of the college due to the classes I kept failing. I never had the courage to tell my parents about it, because I was afraid that they would force me to live with them again, and that was something I did not desire. Because I was not able to stay in the dorm, I had to find a place to live, and to be able to pay the rent, I had to work. I searched for a job and was desperate to find one. I searched the internet, hoping to find a suitable job, but I could not find any. After a couple of days, I ended up being a server in Wendy's. It was my first working experience, so I had a hard time to adjust to having a career. A couple of months passed, and I realized the fact that I got used to working there. Of course, I would get tired time to time, and sometimes rude customers would piss me off, but other than that, I was quite happy working in Wendy's. I was not aware that this beautiful first job experience of mine was about to turn into a nightmare. The day that horrible event occurred was 3 months ago, It was a busy day, and we were all exhausted as the time of closing arrived. Me and two other co-workers of mine stayed to close the restaurant. One of them was an old man who very rarely spoke to any of us. We did not know anything about him, but he would always gently smile and thank me whenever I helped him. His name was David, and that was actually all the information I had about him. The other one was Liam. He was an extremely thin man in his 30s. He had black bags under his eyes. His skin was dirty and pale. He smelt like a wet dog that had been living inside a trash bin. Even though he was not too wretched looking, looking at him would still give me the creeps. He was a talkative person who enjoyed telling the same stories over and over again. As we were about to close the restaurant, Liam approached me and started to speak as if I was eager to listen to one of his stories. A great sense of boredom filled my heart. I told him that I forgot to clean the bathrooms and walked away. Of course, it was an excuse to get away from him. I went inside the bathroom and started to wait. The bathroom did not need to be clean as I had already done it a half an hour ago. But unfortunately, with Liam around, the bathroom was the only place I could find some peace. As I waited for 5 minutes, hoping that the others would finish their duties quickly so that I could go home as fast as I could, I heard footsteps coming towards the bathroom. The sound stopped, and I heard a knocking on the bathroom door. It was Liam. He told me that he was bored and that he wanted to speak with me. With a frustrated voice, I said, "I am busy. Why don't you go and talk with David?" He seemed to not understand or care about my frustration as he replied, "Everybody knows that David is not the chatty type. I tried talking with him, but got bored immediately. Also, I really enjoy having conversations with you." I sensed a sudden shift on his tone as he said the last sentence. His voice became unsettling. I did not respond. He started to talk about his life, but his speech topic quickly changed into a sexual life and how good was his performance in bed. While talking, I could hear his deep breathing sound. Obviously, I was disturbed by his speech, and I told him to leave me alone. With a devilish voice, he said, "I can show you how good I am in bed if you like me to." Once again, I screamed, "Leave me alone!" My voice echoed in the bathroom. After a couple of seconds, I started to hear banging sounds, as if he was trying to break open the door. Thankfully, I was smart enough to lock the door, but this insane man was still trying to open the door. I cried for help. I screamed as loud as I could, hoping that David might come to my aid. After a while, Liam managed to break the door. As he stood there right before me, he locked his eyes on my breasts and grinned. He opened his eyes so wide that I thought they were going to pop out of their sockets. Of course, you want me to please you, my love," he said, as he started to approach me slowly. At that moment, I heard the breaking sound of glass, and when I looked behind Liam, I saw David with a broken bottle in his shaking old hand. I realized that David had broke the glass bottle on Liam's head. Although blood was pouring from his head, Liam was acting as if nothing happened. He continued to walk towards me. He grabbed hold of me with his skeleton-like hands. His grip was way more powerful than I expected. I wanted to fight back, but my body was totally frozen. David jumped on Liam and tried to pull him away from me. Liam pushed him so hard that he fell to the ground and hit his head on the floor. I felt like my body was paralyzed. I could not move a single muscle. When I thought everything was over, I heard the sound of my mother in my head telling me to fight back or run away. Following the virtuous advice she gave me when I was a child, I found the strength to snap out of my paralyzed state. I pushed Liam back. He tried to grab me again, but I managed to run away from him. As I ran outside, I heard the police sirens. Seeing the blue and red lights shining as the police car arrived in front of the building, I felt a sense of relief. Two officers rushed toward me. Still shook by the recent incident, tears burst out of my tired eyes. I cried and told them what happened. While I was telling them the story, one of them looked behind me and shouted, "He is running away!" They started to run, and I watched them chase Liam. I watched them as they disappeared into the darkness of the night. After a moment, I heard gunshots. The policeman came back and told me that they got him. Apparently, the police had to shoot Liam 9 times before he fell to the ground. I told them that David was lying inside, unconscious. They rushed inside and came out of the restaurant carrying David. "He seems to be okay," one of the officers said. They told me that after David heard my screaming, he called the police, and that was the reason they were able to arrive so quickly. I thanked David. I thanked the officers, and I asked them what they knew about Liam. They told me that, considering the way he resisted to the bullets, it was possible that Liam was under the influence of a substance. I resigned from my job at Wendy's the very next day. I called my parents and told them what happened. My father demanded me to return to them immediately. Normally, this would bother me, but after everything I went through, the idea of going back to my parents' house seemed good. I do not know why Liam was acting that way, but according to the police investigation, it is likely that he was a drug addict with an unstable mind. Although I know he is dead, I still wake up at night, seeing him in my nightmares, approaching me and saying, "Of course, you want me to please you.